of you stand on your feet all over the room. Let's continue to invite the Holy Spirit. We invite you in here, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you, Lord. We ask that your Holy Spirit fills this place, God. Fill this place, Lord Jesus. Fill this place, Lord Jesus. Fill this place, Lord Jesus. We want to encounter the Spirit of the living God. We want to encounter our Messiah. We want to encounter our Savior. We want to encounter the Lamb of God, who has been slain for our sins, our wrongdoings, who paid for our healing, who paid for our wholeness with his own body, with his own blood. We praise the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Be enthroned in the praises of your people. Be enthroned in the praises of your people. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that the words that will be spoken, God, the songs that will be sung, will be for you, from you, and through you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, give three people a high five. Ready, Pastor Paul, those are here. Excited for the message today. Everyone say, by faith. By faith. Church, we have to be honest with you. There is a difference. There's a difference between belief and faith. And we touched on this, I think, a month ago or 2 months ago. But there is a difference between knowing something and then having faith. And so for the purposes of this message, I hope you guys are taking notes, by the way. Actually, we didn't do our Bible confession, so you guys have your Bibles. Lift them up over your head. Good. Next week, let's see some more Bibles, okay? If you don't have a Bible, let me know. We'll give you one. Say with me, say, this is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm ready to receive the infallible Word of God. And having received the Word of God, I will do the Word of God. Who's taking notes? Man, gold star in heaven. Right, Jesus? Good noodle. Write this down. Faith is belief expressed. Faith is belief expressed. Belief by itself is not enough. For example, I'm going to throw myself under the bus right now. I have been happily married for a year and 7-something months. It's been a year and 7 months and about 40 pounds. Yeah, maybe 30, probably 30 pounds. 30. We'll call it 30. Excuse me? 30. We'll call it 30. Here's the truth. I know how to lose weight. I know how to lose weight. I know how to lose weight. Doesn't mean I'm losing weight. Knowledge in itself, right, does not cause anything. But it's knowledge applied that can cause transformation. I'll show you. Let's go to James chapter 2, verse 18. James chapter 2, verse 18. Turn to it in your Bible. It's in the New Testament. It is after Hebrews, before 1 Peter. So for the life of a Christian, this is faith expressed. This is belief expressed. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. This is James, who is actually Jesus' brother. But James doesn't say that, by the way. He just honors Jesus as Jesus. He says, some of you guys are going to say, okay, like, some of you guys, he's quoting people in general, right? Saying like, oh, I have faith and you have works. And I equate that to people in this generation saying, oh, I believe in God, but I don't go to church. Or, oh, I believe in God, but I don't pray. Like, I know he's there. Or, oh, like, sometimes I pray, but, you know, like, I don't actually follow the Bible. Like, I believe there's a God, but I don't follow the Bible. Has anyone heard that before? I'm probably not the only one. And here is James's challenge to the people. He's saying, okay, show me your faith without your works. Show me your faith without your works. In other words, you believe in Jesus, prove it. See, believing in your heart and saying, okay, like, I believe in Jesus and I believe there's a God. James is saying that's not enough. Because true belief will be expressed through acts of faith. True belief will be expressed through acts of faith. So James goes on to say, he says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. And his challenge is, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you too well. I mean, that's good. Even the demons believe. In other words, James is saying, look, belief, it's a good thing. Belief is a good thing, but there's something more. Belief is supposed to draw you into faith. And I'll actually give you guys some pretty cool examples of that today. But do you want to know, oh man, oh foolish man, that faith without works is dead? In other words, the same way that I can't lose weight by knowing how to lose weight, you're not a Christian by simply believing in Jesus. Believing in Jesus needs to be expressed. It looks. Amen. It looks. You can see it. Yeah. In the same way that we can see it in the life of Candace, right, in her testimony. In you can see her faith by her works. And I hope that when you see my life, you can see my faith by my works. I have a testimony too. I was at a gas station last Saturday, and it's awfully quiet in here. I want you to do it. It just feels so weird now without it. It's all right. I was at a gas station, and I was usually on my way home from work, I just listen to like podcasts. And this time I was worshiping. Like, I don't know why, but I just really wanted to worship. So I was worshiping, and I get to the gas station, and I get out, and because I'm going to go buy some chips because I don't know how to lose weight. I know how to lose weight, but I'm not losing weight. So I go in the gas station to buy chips and buy gas. And I am in, and so I get my chips, and it's like that awkward moment where like the cashier's right there, and you get there, and someone else gets there at the same time. And it's like, and he's like, hey, like, go ahead. I was like, no. He's like, no, yeah, go ahead. I was like, are you sure? He's like, yeah. I was like, all right. So I'm in line, and then I feel like a burning in my heart. And at first I'm like, why am I anxious? What's going on? Because I get like that sometimes. But I was like, wait. So I stood there, I was waiting my turn, I was like, and I had this thought of like, I need to minister to someone, right? So I'm like, okay. I'm like, I think it's the guy that was like, let me go in front of him. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm being completely honest, and I think this is a lot of us, I'm a baby when it comes to this too. I really am. Because I'm like hoping, like, all right, I'm going to pay for my gas, I'm going to go to my car, and I'm hoping that his car is just next to mine because it'll be easier. But it wasn't. His car was across the gas station because I saw him go, and I heard him say, oh, $10, right, on, you know, which $10 these days in gas is like, you know, two blocks or something. So I go, and I'm pumping my gas, and I'm like, and I see him go to his car on the other side of the parking lot, right, to pump his gas. I'm like, well, what do I do? Like, what do I tell him? And then I remembered I had 20 bucks in my glove compartment. So I grab my 20 bucks, lock my car while the gas is going in, and I swiftly walk, because he only put 10 bucks in, and he's already done. So I'm like, I swiftly walk over there, and I was like, excuse me, sir, and he's just like, I'm like, hey, and so I stick my hand out with the 20, right? I was like, hey, Jesus wanted me to give you 20 bucks. He's like, no. And I was like, yes. And I was like, I don't know if you're struggling, I don't know what you're going through, but I just want to tell you Jesus loves you and he's watching over you and I would love to pray for you. And then he like yells at his friend and he had a friend inside. He's like, hey, like come out of here. And so this guy comes out and he's like, at the end of every story, I always feel ridiculous because at the end of the story, I'm like, why did I doubt? Why was I so uncomfortable in the first place? Why did I like struggle with like just, like I know it's gonna turn out well. 99% of the time, it turns out well. It really does. Now, there's times where like people say like, no, I don't want to hear it. And that's fine. And that is a reality. But we have to love people enough to fail. We have to love people enough to get rejected. That's what I mean. I'm not saying we're failing. That's not what I meant. I'm saying we have to love people enough to hear them say, no, I don't want Jesus. And he's like, we're Christians too. And I was like, oh, okay. It's not so bad. He's like, yeah. He's like, I was addicted. Sorry. Is that me? And they're like, oh, yeah, they were homeboys. They were homeboys, so that's why, not that I don't like homeboys, I was just, you know, I just don't know what I'm going to get. And he started telling me, he's like, 3 years ago, I was under 100 pounds, I was shooting up, I was almost dead. He's like, I'm currently in a recovery home, and this is going to help a lot. He's like, me and my friend are both in a recovery home. I was like, dude, I'm like, let me pray for you guys. And so the other guy got out of the car, and he just went up, he just gave me a hug, and I was like, hugging random strangers in the gas station. So we all, and in the middle of this gas station, all three of us, we just held hands and I just started praying for them. And the one guy that got it, he was like, come to our church. And I was like, I can't. He's like, well, you don't know when it is. And I was like, I can't go. He's like, come on, Wednesday night. And I was like, I have a youth group. I'm a youth pastor. He's like, okay, pastor, what about Fridays? And I was like, oh, I got band practice. He's like, okay, what about Sunday morning? And I was like, I still go to church Sunday morning. He's like, all right. And I'm like, hey, we're in the same family. He's like, okay, pastor. And so, see, you should be able to see my faith by my works. And the Lord should see your faith by your works. There's no such thing as a hidden Christian. Like, if you're a Christian, like, you see it. It comes out of you. Now, I don't want this, and this is actually part one of I don't know how many. We're going to be talking about this idea that faith is belief expressed. But I don't want to start, I don't want to just come here and tell you, okay, like, you know, you have to do what I do, and you have to do what Candace does, or you have to do what the other youth leaders do. You have to go out there and pray. And no, actually, like, this is a concept when we approach Jesus. Like, we approach Jesus in faith, and I'm going to show you that today because I don't want you guys to just be like, okay, like, I don't want you guys to get stuck on, I have to do all these things now because I say I believe in Jesus. I have to now go talk to people and go pray for people or give someone 20 bucks. Like, I don't want you guys to get stuck on that. I want to bring us to Jesus first and see how this is how Jesus expects us to approach him, where Jesus is like, I don't want you to just believe in me. I want you to approach me in faith. I'm going to show it to you. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Turn there, please. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. If you're there, say, I'm there. There. Verse 25, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. I'm going to say, woof. Verse 26, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She tried to get better and they made things worse. She had spent all that she had and was no better. Could you imagine going from person to person to person to person trying to get better? Sounds like people who do dating wrong. They go from person to person to person trying to find something that will fix themselves. And you can't fix yourself and someone else can't fix yourself. You need Jesus, amen? So don't jump from person to person, okay? It's not good. you're going to be out of money and you're not going to feel good. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Verse 27, I love this. When she heard about Jesus, for her to hear about Jesus, someone had to say something about Jesus. Come on, for her to hear about Jesus, someone had to speak to her about Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? I see the word thronging, I think of like a concert when you're in the pit, and it's like. And he looked around, verse 32, and he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Verse 34, and here it is, church. We'll stay right here. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Whose faith, church? Whose faith? See, she heard about Jesus and that belief. Like, I believe that what I'm hearing about Jesus is true. Therefore, I'm going to go touch his garment and I will be healed. This is faith expressed. Sorry, this is belief expressed, and this is called faith. I'm going to say it again. She heard about Jesus and she believed the things that she heard that caused her to go to Jesus and be healed. So we're talking about preaching the gospel to everybody? Yes. We're talking about loving people and praying for them? Yes. But it starts with you coming to Jesus in faith and you getting whole, you being healed. Let's start there. Faith starts there. You guys want another example? I got two more, actually. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Luke 17:11. If you're there, say, I love you, Jesus. Verse 11, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village there, met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. These lepers were outcasts. I don't know if anybody here feels like an outcast. These lepers were sick. I don't know if anyone here feels sick. These lepers were abandoned. I don't know if anyone here has ever felt abandoned. There met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. These were 10 lepers who had no hope. They already had their death sentence. It was only a matter of time. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14, so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Everyone say amen. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus breaking down some walls. Verse 17, so Jesus answered and said, this is so good, church. I just read this one. I was like, wait, what is Jesus answering? Jesus is just responding to his thanks and his worship. The leper comes glorifying God. Jesus responds. Listen, our God's not dead. Our God is not dead. You can pray to any other God and you're not going to get a response. With a loud voice, he glorified God, verse 16, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Verse 17, so Jesus answered, you're so cool, man. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Verse 18, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Verse 19, here it is. Here's the kicker. And we'll stay right here for a moment. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. What word is that, church? Your faith has made you well. That word well is sozo. It means whole. It means healed, saved, delivered, made whole, rescued. See, I don't know how these 10 lepers heard about Jesus, but at some point they heard about Jesus. At some point they knew that it was Jesus who was coming, and they waited and they met him. By faith, they went to go meet him. And every single one of them received healing, but only one of them was made whole. Every single one of them received this physical healing. But I believe this one leper, we know it because it's a different word, right? He received the fullness of God. He came back. And for the last few moments, this is what I want to talk about. Encounters with God are meant to cause us to come back to him again and again and again. See, they receive their healing, and the natural response doesn't need to be, cool, Jesus, I got my healing. I'm going to go live my life now. Thanks for fixing me, so now I'm going to go do what I want to do. Jesus. Church, I'm not sure what you guys are going through. Are we called to preach the gospel? Yes. Are we called to talk to people and tell them, hey, Jesus loves you, or go pray for them? Yes. But we're called to come to Jesus time and time again for healing. We're called to come here in worship and in excitement and passion. See, the leper comes back to Jesus out of gratitude. And I think maybe we're missing that gratitude sometimes. Where we take our wholeness, we take our healing, we take good church for granted. And we come and we're like, oh, it's just another service. I know Jesus is going to show up. It's just another service. I want to give you guys one more story, okay? I'm going to try to go quickly through this one. Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Actually, we'll say that for next week. You're going to come next week, so what's the... I want us to ask ourselves a question. What are some things that I know, that I believe, but I'm not walking out? See, if I know God is a healer, then by faith, I'm going to approach him and say, Jesus, heal me. If I know God is a restorer of my soul, God is a restorer of my body, God is a restorer of my emotions, then what does that look like? Because, see, it looks different for everybody. for the leper, it was just standing afar off, getting healed, but then coming back to Jesus. For the woman, it was just touching the hem of his garment. For the centurion, in the Bible, there's a centurion where he's like, just speak a word and they'll be healed. Just speak a word. And Jesus was amazed at his faith. So it's not a formula, church. Proper faith is faith that is led by the Spirit, amen? And so what I want to do tonight for those last few moments before we worship is I want us to close our eyes. And bow your heads. I want us to ask, in your own words, I want you to ask Jesus, Jesus, what is my act of faith that I need to do? What is it that I need to do in faith? Is it to forgive someone in faith even though I'm afraid to? Is it to ask for healing in faith even though I'm not sure if you're going to heal me or not? Is it to accept you as my Father in heaven even though I've been let down by people? What is that act of faith? Because listen to me, church, Jesus doesn't respond to belief, he responds to faith. As the Sozo choir comes up, I want us to do something tonight. I want us to worship in faith tonight. If you're looking for a breakthrough, if you're looking to break anxiety or depression or suicidal thoughts, if you're looking to break loneliness, if you're looking to break an addiction, if you're looking to break unforgiveness, if you're looking to break anger, let's worship in faith, knowing that God will break those things in our life. Amen? Can we do that?